From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. And on this day, Governor Paul LePage and state lawmakers are discussing using $8 million in state and federal funds to expand medication-assisted opioid treatment. The Special Select Committee on Marijuana Legalization has begun implementing Question 1, approved by voters this past fall. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
It's been almost a year since a state task force finalized recommendations to address Maine's opioid crisis. Three separate panels of experts spent months doing research and soliciting ideas. In the end, their recommendations were unanimous. Among them, to immediately expand medication-assisted treatment across the state, to decrease barriers to recovery, and to reduce the number of overdose deaths. But last year, overdose deaths in Maine soared by 40%. And as Susan Sharon reports, Governor LePage is now signaling that when it comes to treatment, he wants the state to try something new.
In his State of the State address Tuesday night, Governor LePage highlighted the latest overdose statistics for Maine. 378 people died from drug overdoses last year. That's more than one death a day. And for LePage, it's not only the increasing numbers that are frustrating, it's the cost of drug treatment that he says is ineffective.
We're trying to find programs that work. Because we have so much. We spent over $80 million, and it's not working. Too many people are dying.
But those on the front lines of drug treatment in Maine say the problem isn't with existing programs. The problem, they say, is finding a way to get more people, especially those who lack insurance, into evidence-based treatment, such as methadone and Suboxone. Those medications, in combination with behavioral therapy, have been well-studied and are considered the gold standard for drug treatment by the National Institute on Drug Abuse and other health organizations. In Maine, there's a shortage of it, and the state, they say, has done almost nothing to improve the picture.
We've heard story after story after story of people who have spent months and months calling all around the state to try to get help, only to find the same answer.
The answer, says Eric Harum, is often that there's a wait of at least 8 weeks to be seen. Harum is the former director of the Addiction Resource Center in Brunswick, who now works as a drug treatment consultant. He also chaired the state's treatment task force that was convened by the U.S. Attorney, the Maine Attorney General, and the Public Safety Commissioner to address the opioid crisis. Harum thought the number one unanimous recommendation to expand medication-assisted treatment would be a clear direction to policymakers. So did Maine Attorney General Janet Mills.
It's astonishing to me that a year ago, the legislature authorized and funded 10, only 10, new treatment beds in the Bangor area, and yet a year later, that hasn't happened. The beds have not opened. The facility has not opened to a single patient.
Those 10 beds in Bangor are for emergency detox only, not for long-term treatment, and they do not incorporate methadone or Suboxone treatment. There are private efforts underway to expand the number of Suboxone providers in the state. The state's 9 methadone clinics, meanwhile, are struggling.
We've experienced some recent rule changes that have increased the costs of the services, which creates more of a barrier to treatment.
Jim Cohen is a spokesman and lobbyist for the methadone clinics, which are currently being reimbursed $60 a week for patients enrolled in MaineCare. It's a rate that's been cut by 25% in recent years, to a level that is believed to be the lowest in the country for methadone treatment. To complicate matters, Cohen says the LePage administration imposed additional counseling and record-keeping requirements and sought to limit patients to 2 years on the medication, which is often needed for decades.
Our hope is that the legislature will revisit this issue, provide the modest amount of funds needed to restore that rate, and allow people in Maine to get the treatment they need.
Recently, the Maine Department of Health and Human Services set aside $2.4 million to help 350 low-income Mainers access drug treatment. And now, Democratic Senate Minority Leader Troy Jackson says lawmakers in the LePage administration are discussing an $8 million proposal to expand medication-assisted treatment to about 700 more people. Jackson says the proposal combines state and federal funding and was brought forward by DHHS Commissioner Mary Mayhew.
I think there's great promise, so we're very interested in going forward with this.
But right now, the proposal is just that. And while the governor signaled in his address Tuesday night that all options for treatment are on the table, he also said that the state can't simply throw money at something that isn't working. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The Special Select Committee on Marijuana Legalization has begun the enormous job of implementing Question 1, approved by voters this past fall, as Mal Leary reports. Panel members expect their work to go through most of the year.
Dozens of bills have already been targeted to go to the committee for its consideration this session. At the panel's first meeting, Chairman Senator Roger Cates, a Republican from Augusta, cited a broad range of issues to be tackled.
Public safety is an issue. Taxation, how are we going to license and over the oversight of growing, the licensing and oversight of retail, public health issues.
And some committee members say the panel needs to prioritize its work on some of the issues that are before them, such as clearly defining how many marijuana plants a person may have for their personal use. Kate says the panel may have to ask the Attorney General's office to weigh in on any possible changes in law that might be needed in the near term. He warned panel members they will not be able to complete their work during the legislative session and will probably need to work through next fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Most Americans don't get enough exercise, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. And those over the age of 65 are the least likely to get with the program. But for one couple in Topsom, exercise is more important than ever as an antidote to a progressive disease. Patty White brings us the third story in our series, In This Life.
For most of his 80 years, Ted Reese has embraced a central guiding philosophy.
Let me put it this way. Day without exercise, day without sunshine.
And he's made sure to get his daily dose through one sport in particular, wrestling. Reese started when he was 12 and went on to compete at Yale and the Marine Corps. He was a spotter for the U.S. Olympic team and has been called a pioneer of the sport in Maine after starting a few high school championship wrestling programs, as well as the men's program at the University of Southern Maine. But recently, Reese has picked up a new form of exercise.
All right, give me the left, give me the left.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, he boxes at the YMCA in Brunswick. Make no mistake, Reese still considers wrestling a superior sport. He boxes for a different reason. This is a class specifically designed for people with Parkinson's disease.
With the high-intensity exercise, it actually has a dopamine release in the brain.
Zach Hartman is an exercise physiologist with Midcoast Hospital in Brunswick. He helps lead the boxing classes called Rock Steady Boxing.
That's part of the reasons why people develop Parkinson's. They don't have that dopamine release, and they have lower amounts of dopamine released from the brain, so that high-intensity exercise actually produces more dopamine and helps kind of relieve some of the symptoms.
Rock Steady Boxing isn't contact boxing. Instead, Reese and others in the class cycle through stations, throwing jabs into punching bags, an instructor's mitts, or into small speed bags. It's 70 seconds on, 30 seconds rest. At the speed bag, Reese waits a few moments in between each strike for the bag to slow down so he can make a solid hit.
80 years old and Parkinson's, coordination's not there as much as it should be.
His coordination may not be what it used to be for Reese, but he's retained the toned physique of a lifelong athlete and can still drop down into a straight-as-a-board plank that puts those decades his junior to shame. Still, the Parkinson's is frustrating. Reese is not as quick as he used to be. And surprisingly, says his wife Lynn, he's not as motivated.
Sometimes he just doesn't feel like moving. So that it's insidious. It really is a very insidious, terrible disease, because you take someone who's very active and all of a sudden he just doesn't feel like it. And so I say, we're going, you know, we're going.
Notice she said, we're going, because she's, as it's been in all parts of my life, she's been a huge part of it. Without her, I'd be sitting at home trembling. But I'm not.
Lynn makes sure that her husband gets to class every week and coaches him along as he practices agility and strength exercises, such as throwing a weighted ball against a wall.
Slow it down, that's it. Yes.
The goal of this class is to stave off the symptoms of Parkinson's. And Lynn says Ted's doctors believe that his lifelong commitment to exercise likely kept the disease at bay. Even though he was first diagnosed about a dozen years ago, it took about 10 years for the disease to manifest.
So that's why we keep exercising, because we're afraid to stop.
Reese has only been doing the boxing class for a couple of months, in addition to his own weightlifting and isokinetic exercises. He thinks it's helping, and not just physically.
The exercise is helpful, more important, seeing other people have similar problems. Not the same problems, but similar problems.
Because your vision of Parkinson's is the guy sitting in the wheelchair drooling. You know, frozen. And to be around a group of people that this is not the way they're treated. And they're all active, and so it sort of gives you hope.
Okay, now we're going to do two punches with the same hand, okay, on our crosses.
For Ted Reese, there's no other option but to keep exercising.
It keeps me focused. It keeps me more alive at 80 than a lot of people are at 50.
Good, come on.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
There you go. 10 seconds left. Come on.
In This Life is made possible by a grant from the Dorie Taylor Charitable Foundation. And that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, February 8th. Thanks to Keith Shortall, Steve Missler, and our digital team, Amit Morin.